5-8-33-33, and email to Bob at headonradio.com or my lovely wife, Agnes, at headonradio.com. I was about to get ahead of myself there. We are waiting for a phone call this evening. I set this up earlier in the day. I hope she will. I hope she comes through. If she doesn't, we're going to dial her. A lady by the name of Crystal Harris. She's the mother of the five-year-old who was forced to spend the day undressed, shall we say, on Halloween because his kindergarten teacher thought she would just take the costume off the child and let him spend the day that way. And there she is, I'll bet. At any rate, we look forward to speaking to her in just a moment or so. That being the case, I don't know. What do you think about that? A teacher.
You want to start calling back?
Okay. Well, I don't know what's going on here.
For an interview. Okay.
Okay. I was wrong there. At any rate, we'll be talking to her because the fur has been flying on this story a little bit. The question becoming one of he said, she said. The school has put out a press release saying, oh, none of it's true. Not even a little bit. We're not even sure if the child actually exists. Nah, I'm kidding. But there does seem to be a significant dispute. She has hired counsel in speaking with her. I found that out. And she believes strongly enough in her case that she believes that the Board of Education should be held accountable for what it did. The school district out there that runs Walt Disney Elementary. The irony is just too thick. But beyond that, plenty of other things going on in the world today, not the least of which was Dear Leader's appearance in Panama. And we have some sound of that for you. Not just right yet, but we do have some sound of that for you. And a little something I wanted to share with you from BobHarris.com. Bob Harris is apparently a pretty sharp cookie. He did some statistical comparisons. And I'll just share these with you straight off the page. Cheney now 7 points behind the public beating of children. Bush's approval rating has fallen to 35. Maybe America, he writes, is starting to realize that secret prisons and endless war aren't really the best government we can possibly hope for. Dick Cheney in the same poll has a 19% approval rating. That's 19%. And I'm not exactly sure which statistical comparisons he made, but he notes that Dick Cheney's approval numbers are... 2 points less popular than cheating on your spouse, and 7 points behind corporal punishment in schools. He says that's down in what can politely be called lunatic territory. But in light of the fact that Dick Cheney's approval numbers have fallen 7 points behind corporal punishment in schools, Crystal Harris is with us on the phone now. Crystal, good evening. Are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Thank you so much for calling in, because there's a lot of people out there that would like to know exactly what's going on in this case. So I do appreciate you taking your time.
All right. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I imagine I'm probably doing a little bit better than perhaps you, in light of what you've been through with your little 5-year-old son.
Yes, I'm more or less my son.
Yeah. Let's do this the easy way. Let's go through this in terms of just, you know, a linear progression. How did it start? What happened? How did the whole affair begin?
Well, I let my son wear his Halloween costume to school Halloween morning, which was on Monday.
Okay.
So I let him go to school in his costume, and his costume was basically a ninja costume. And underneath the costume, he had on plain black pants and a long sleeve black shirt, and it had a red ninja vest.
Okay.
And underneath it, he had thermal underwear with a crotch out on the front and a t-shirt that, you know, didn't go past his waist.
Uh-huh.
Well, his teacher took it upon herself to take him to the bathroom because she felt that the costume was disturbing class. And she took it upon herself to take my son to the bathroom and, you know, basically he had to strip his costume off.
Okay.
So instead of leaving the black pants and the black shirt on, she stripped them down to his thermal underwear T-shirt.
Okay, let's sort this out real quick, Crystal. You said a ninja costume, and
uh-huh.
You said there was a red vest, black pants, and a black shirt. Was there any decoration on the shirt or on the pants?
No, not on the shirt or on the pants. It was just basically a red styrofoam vest that detached. It wasn't attached to the black shirt or the black pants whatsoever.
Okay.
And she removed all of it.
And there was I know in school systems they get kind of antsy about weapons or toy weapons. I mean, was there a ninja sword or anything like that?
Well, initially it came with a sword and some nunchucks, but I didn't let them take those because, I mean, I knew that would be considered bringing a toy to school. And, you know, with him being in kindergarten, I wouldn't send them with toys because I wouldn't want them disrupting class with toys because I know, you know, the other kids are going to want to play with them.
Right. Makes perfectly good sense to me.
Yeah, so I didn't send them with those.
Okay. How this policy, Crystal, about not wearing costumes to school, how did they publicize that?
Well, they didn't, and they didn't release a letter before Halloween stating that the kids couldn't wear costumes. And I did my research with the Board of Education, and they don't have a written policy stating that the children cannot wear Halloween costumes.
Okay. To the best of your knowledge, were there now the school board has said that out of what 800 some students, your son was the only one who wore a costume. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, that's what they stated. Why? Because we know of other children that wore costumes. I have spoken to another parent that sent her child to school in a costume.
Was that child stripped?
No. No, it probably would have been a lot worse, but unfortunately, with it just being me and this, you know, and the way that it happened, I guess because the teacher didn't give the school any knowledge as to what she did and didn't give the principal any knowledge as to what she did. So It's really confusing right now, but you know.
How exactly did you find this out?
Because I was laying in the bed when my son had got home, because I was on hospital bed rest when he got home, and he came home and I asked him, I said, "Where are your pants?" And he didn't want to talk. He went in his room crying and closed the door. And I asked him, "Where are your pants at?" And he said that my teacher undressed me.
Oh, that must have just gone through you.
Yeah, I was so upset. I got up right out of the bed and walked to the school, bed rest and all. I was so upset because I couldn't believe that. And
let me ask you, where was his costume?
In his backpack.
Now we're talking about a kindergartner here, right?
Yes, a 5-year-old. Like I told her, I said you could have had enough common sense to at least leave the black pants and the black shirt on him. I say, you know, that didn't take a child to figure that out. That should have been adult common sense.
Yeah, at that point, we've been over this. At that point, it's just black pants and black shirt.
Plain black pants, plain black shirt.
Is there a school policy against wearing black?
Obviously. Obviously there is. But the school is saying that, you know, they thought they were jogging pants. And, you know, we all know jogging pants are full-length pants with a drawstring in the front.
Sure.
These pants are gray. Everybody knows what type of material they've been making thermal underwear out of for years. And on top of that, the crotch is open and sewn on the outside.
Ah, okay.
So there's no way you're going to get these confused with jogging pants.
Yeah, and anyway you slice it, that's underwear.
Yeah, and, you know, their statement that they press released that my son went through the day without incident, which was another lie. When my son came home, he was upset, crying, went to his room, and I, you know, after I talked to him about it, he said, "Mom, I don't want to go back to school because the kids keep calling me a freak." So, you know, I consider that definitely with incident.
Well, absolutely. What did the principal say to you?
The principal was kind of stuck for words because he didn't know what had happened. He didn't know what was going on. And, you know, like I told him, this is a failure upon the whole school. I said, because I find it a little hard to understand why a child walked around in his underwear all day and not one of the adults had common sense to notice that there was a child walking around in his underwear. And like I told him, had I sent my child to school like that, a black child to school like that, I would. They would have called DHS and Child Welfare Services and everybody else.
Oh, honey, you'd still you'd be in court right now.
I know I would be. But for some odd reason, they claimed it. You know, they honestly believed they were jogging pants, which was, you know, a total lie. Like I told them, you know, they just didn't make any sense because I could, you know, the pants didn't cover the waist at all, and the crotch is visibly shown on the outside.
Well, now the news story that I read from TV2 out there in Tulsa indicated that he hadn't been back to school as a result of this. I guess what he was out Tuesday, Wednesday. How many days did he miss?
I believe he was out 3 days because he had been having nightmares about it, and it was causing him to have some problems. So I had kept him out, but they transferred him. It's still the same school, but he's in a different building. The building has a main building, and then it has a new facility, which, you know, I sent him to the new facility because he felt comfortable going back to the new facility because he was there before.
Right.
And he felt comfortable going back to his old teacher. And I knew, you know, like I said, if I just, you know, didn't send him to school, they'll be calling the police on me, talking about truancy, and I'm keeping him out of school.
Right.
So, you know, they make it, you know, they make it real easy for them to cover their tracks, but lo and behold, you do something that they don't agree with. Here come the handcuffs.
Yeah, sure. Without a doubt. Well, let me ask you this. What do you want? What kind of remedy would you like to see?
Well, like I told the school board, I believe they owe my son some psychological counseling.
And that seems reasonable.
I really feel that the school should be held accountable for what they did. They need to acknowledge what they did instead of trying to make excuses. And I find it really sad that the Tulsa Public School Board here just feels that, you know, this is just something that they're going to be able to sweep under the rug, and they just don't know they got the wrong mama for that.
Atta girl. What about the teacher herself?
No disciplinary action was taken toward the teacher. They feel that she didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, and like I told her, you know, cause she said, well, I asked him if he wanted to take his clothes off. He's 5. You can't ask the 5-year-old, do they want to take their clothes off?
You know, when we get to a point in this country where you can do that, we got a problem.
Yeah, I said, you know, who would send their child somewhere? What type of country is this? What type of place is this that they can ask a 5-year-old, do you want to take your clothes off? I mean, come on. I said, no, this just don't make any sense. And it's just, and like I told them, it's really sad that they're more concerned with covering their hide than worrying about what my son is going through mentally because, you know, it's hard.
Do you have, let me
ask, raise a 5-year-old.
Just out of curiosity, do you have any more children than just your, just,
yes,
just
I one? Have a 3-year-old.
Oh, my.
I have a girl.
So well, I'm sure you'll be a little bit nervous in a couple of years. Well, she won't go to school in any Halloween costume,
you know,
will she?
Well, you know what? It definitely is going to make me pay more attention to the teachers that I send my child to school with because, you know, I thought that I knew the teacher pretty well. I thought that, you know, she was a pretty good teacher, and her incompetence and her stupidity, because that's basically the only word it could be described as.
Well, that's it. And, you know, not to be graphic or gross or anything, ma'am, but as I said when we discussed this earlier, we've got little ones here at our house, and when you're 5 years old and you're in kindergarten or preschool, we had little notes that came in that said, please send an extra set of clothing because accidents happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
They dump lunch on themselves. You know, all kinds of things happen. They tear clothes on the playground. Most of the little classrooms that I've been, our children have been affiliated with, they had a spare set of clothes.
Yeah, and you know, it's like I told you, I said, I'm pretty sure y'all had something in lost and found if y'all felt y'all didn't need to contact me. And the only reason why y'all should have felt that y'all didn't need to contact with me because y'all already had a spare change of clothing. I said, and then on top of that, I would have definitely preferred a male taking my child's clothes off instead of, you know, my son sitting there telling me, you know, mama, I had to take my clothes off in front of a woman.
In the bathroom.
And I'm pretty sure that felt creepy enough for him.
I don't doubt it in the least. Did they give you any kind of satisfactory answer for why they didn't even bother to pick up the phone and give you a call? Were you home? I mean, you were on bed rest.
Well, you know, they couldn't give me a satisfactory answer because, like I said, the teacher didn't let the principal know. She didn't notify the office. And, you know, to me, they should be definitely addressing that with her.
Well, doesn't it?
She didn't notify anybody.
Does it strike you that, let's assume for a moment that, you know, the teacher does what she does. Should there have been a second teacher there?
Most definitely.
I mean,
I thought with any or any organization dealing with kids, any types of public schools, any daycare, anything, I mean, that's just the same way with the police. When they search you, they definitely, if it's a female officer, if it's a male officer, they have two people there because they want to be able to make sure they say, okay, well, nothing happened.
Right. That's just common sense.
And, you know, and like I told them, that's what makes me feel so uncomfortable because I don't know what she did to my son in that bathroom.
No.
And with that being his teacher,
but
if she told him don't say nothing, then he would definitely not say nothing because he's scared of her. And like I told her, my son wasn't just taking his clothes off for anybody. He did that because I sent him to school and I let him know you do what your teachers tell you to do.
That just—it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart because that's—you just exactly hit on the point, ma'am. This is a matter of trust, and it is a matter of the trust of a 5-year-old child. And
now, you know, my son, I tell him now, no, if your teacher says something that you don't like, you tell her to call me. And see, and I don't want them to say that my child is a problem child, but I definitely don't trust these teachers now.
Well, and I think you've probably got a pretty good point in not doing so. Where's it going to go from here?
Well, right now I've retained me an attorney.
Uh-huh.
So right now I'm just, you know, letting my attorney get everything together and figure out exactly what's going to be done. But, you know, like I said, it definitely made me go ahead and take the step of taking legal action because they're saying this is okay, this is okay. And people need to understand that the schools are saying this is okay.
Well, I don't know how much of the news you follow, but we've got scandals all over the United States with religious people who sexually abuse children. Teachers have done it, all kinds of things, and I get the notion that you're being asked just to shut up.
Basically, yes.
And my feeling on this, and you tell me otherwise if it is, I get the notion that as a mother, you feel like you'd be doing your son wrong by doing that.
Yes, and, you know, I was watching the news, and they had a lady said, well, I feel this is just being blown out of proportion. And the first thing that came in my mind, I said, Lord forbid something ever happens to her child, and that child have to depend on her.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
I said, Lord forbid. I said, because my son is 5, and if I don't teach him to stand up for himself, he's never going to understand that. And he has to understand that this is not right. That's not right for somebody to do that to a child. Same way when he has kids, nobody has the right to tell your child to take their clothes off.
Exactly, and by this, and just to clear up one last issue, your child is, your son is a perfectly normal 5-year-old boy, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
And I don't mean any insult by that. I hope you understand. But he's not in special ed. He's not special needs. He's just another 5-year-old kindergartner.
No, he's just another 5-year-old kindergartner. And you know, even kids with special ed and special problems, they're just another child. When you take on that responsibility to become a teacher, regardless of what's that child's problem, whether they're mentally handicapped, you take the responsibility to deal with other people's children, and people trust you to use your best judgment when you're dealing with their children.
And that's one of the things that scares me.
You know, she would be upset if someone did that to her child.
Absolutely. And if this had been a special needs child, it could have been all the worse.
And, you know, truth be told, like I told the school board, you know, when I went to the building, like I told them, I said, I said the sad part is that, to tell you the truth, because I'm a single young black mother that doesn't have the money to just jump out and get this high-priced attorney to come and just threaten them here and threaten them there, then they feel they're going to just sweep it under the rug. But had I been somebody that had the kind of money to do that, they would make a big deal out of it.
Oh, sure.
Because they know that they're in trouble.
And money talks.
What they don't know is it's going to get done.
Yeah. Well, and that brings up, I guess, maybe a final point. Why in heaven's name, if they felt like they had to take this costume off of him, why in heaven's name couldn't they at least let him get dressed to come home?
Yes. They sent him home. He had to sit outside the school and wait on his ride in his underwear, and he, like I said, I had to call the school the next day and tell them that he wouldn't be coming in because he woke up with a fever, because it was cold that day.
Oh.
And I told them that he wouldn't come to school because he woke up that morning with a fever of 100. And, you know, is he okay? Well, no, he sat outside in his drawers all day yesterday. And
merciful
when he came home,
God,
his legs were just beet red because he's very light-skinned.
Uh-huh.
And he came home and his legs were just beet red.
Oh, you know, for my part, Ms. Harris, I just hope the little guy gets over this and can have a good, enjoyable, pleasant learning experience down the road.
Yeah, because I don't want him to feel he has to be on caution with his teachers or that he can't trust his teachers. Because, you know, a lot of kids that have problems, their teachers are the only people they have to turn to.
Well, that's the absolute truth, and I don't want to overly sensitize the issue, but young black men have enough cards stacked against them.
And it's, and to tell you the truth, that's not overdoing it, because you know what? It is hard enough being a single mother. And I took my son and just chose to raise him by himself because I wanted him to have the better living situation. And it's hard enough being a woman, whether you black or white. It's hard enough being a woman trying to turn a boy into a man.
Well, isn't that the truth all by itself? It absolutely is.
I'm not a man, but I'm doing the best I can. And to me, the main thing, the most important characteristic of a man is his self-confidence, his self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
his self-demeanor. And I feel like they stripped him of that.
I think you're right. Ms. Harris, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We've got to take our break. You've got our support. I hope maybe you'll update us on this as it goes along.
Thank you very much. I will definitely let you know what's going on with it, and I definitely thank people who feel that this is a concern, because people need to realize this could have been their child.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much, ma'am, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Crystal Harris from Tulsa. Mother of a 5-year-old child who was forced to spend the day in his underwear in class. My God. What's this country coming to? I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he a guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
My favorite to see her, sing her.
right, welcome back. 28 minutes before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is, of course, 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. And Bob at headonradio.com, the email address. You can also reach us at 304-658-3333. And in the works, somewhere down the road, even further planning for another way to reach us. And it doesn't involve throwing rocks either, so the lurkers can just sit back. Let's go to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, you?
Okay. Two things. First, I was just listening to NPR on the program entitled Fresh Air.
Yeah.
And they had an interview with Tab Hunter.
Oh, really?
About his new book. And I have the book and I've read it, Tab Hunter, Confidential Story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good read. It really is.
Okay, great.
And they were playing some of his old songs back from the 50s. And, you know, the guy could really sing.
Huh.
And it's just incredible. You know, he had... had quite an incredible life, but in the same vein, I was listening to NPR this afternoon. They had an in-depth interview and story about Don Blankenship.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm, sure did. And they basically, since he has sued NPR, West Virginia NPR, and about everybody else he can, or threatened to sue him.
Yeah, talk about your lawsuit abuse.
Well, yeah, basically, that's what it is. He's got more money than God, and so... basically, he realizes that these people can't stand against him in a court of law because they can't afford to lose. They can't afford the attorney's fees that he can. But the upshot of the interview was that what Mr. Blankenship would like to recreate was West Virginia back about a century ago, when the General Assembly or the House of Delegates would, whenever they would vote on anything, they would have to turn around and look up in the balcony at the coal baron to give him the thumbs up or the thumbs down.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they said about Mr. Blankenship. And
well, I have no doubts. I mean, if you
it was an in-depth. It was a very good interview, and they used a number of sources, and including Blankenship himself. And they basically stated that if you don't agree with him, that he's very much like a spoiled child. And he just lashes out anywhere and uses any weapon he can.
Well, look at the way he's tried to sway West Virginia's political process, Jim. He's a thug, okay?
Well, yeah.
Pure and simple. This guy thinks he's got money and that, therefore, because he has money, he has the right to lord it over other people. He has it's exactly what you said. He has the 19th century coal baron mentality. I mean, this guy's got 19th century coal baron money in a 21st century technological world, and you know he doesn't want West Virginia to move forward. He wants it to go backward.
Well, basically, it pointed out also that might, which is money, made right, and if you have enough money, then you are right regardless of the situation.
Well, and see, he's battling uphill now because I'm glad that you brought up Mr. Blankenswine. Because it turns out an excellent op-ed today in the New York Times,
uh-huh.
Titled, "And Now to Streamline King Coal's Beheading of Appalachia."
Really?
And it's an absolute blistering excoriation of the practice of mountain range removal.
Well, the interview also pointed out that he had removed every mountaintop he possibly could, and there have been numerous spills of coal dust and all kinds of, you know, residuals from coal mining into areas near Matewan and places like that. And that the guy doesn't even have an office. He has a trailer across the river in Kentucky.
Right.
And he said to put armor plate on it because apparently some people went down to visit him with a Thompson submachine gun or whatever they use. And they try to send him into the next world.
I'll be darned. Honestly, I wonder if there's truth in that, Jim, just because he wants to put out this put-upon, martyred exterior. But, you know, consider what this guy is up to. One of the things that's pointed out in this op-ed, by the end of the decade, if Don Blankenship and his other mountain range removal pals have their way, they will have moonscaped, destroyed, mountain surfaces in West Virginia that will be equal to the size of the state of Delaware.
Well, it basically pointed that out, in that, you know, what he wanted was to have an EPA that would be more industry friendly, that would let them basically give them carte blanche to do anything they wanted to do, and also to hire people in whatever ways they wanted to, and, you know, basically reinstitute a way of life that I had hoped that would be forever banished to the pages of history books, but he wants to bring it back.
Well, consider, you know...
He's a very evil person.
Yeah, he is. He's pure evil. Look at this company doctor system that he set up down in Boone County. You know, just like in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
If you get sick, you have to go to the company doctor.
Script.
Yeah, if he could, he'd pay in script. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Sure he would.
And he said not too long back, he said, you need level places for business in West Virginia, just leave me alone and I'll give you all the flat land you can stand.
And he also pointed out that no one could have anything without business or any way of life or anything like that. But what he, this was a taped interview with him. But what he failed to point out was the quality of life that people would have and what they had under the coal barons of old and what they would have under him if he could reinstitute his new type of coal barony.
Well, my grandparents, or great-grandparents even, they lived in those coal company tar paper shacks. They knew, and you know, I paid attention when I was a little boy to the stories of these old-timers, and they stuck with me. Blankenship talks about we need business. The fact of the matter is, the greatest impediment to business growth in the state of West Virginia is coal. Because it creates a mercantilist economy. It thrives on lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason that Massey is begging for employees. It's because it's nasty, it's vile, and it's the absolute damnation and ruin of this state.
Well, you know, that type of life, that type of, you know, the very nature of coal mining, especially going underground and stuff like that, I mean, that's an extremely labor-intensive, back-breaking, health-ruining type of profession. There's no question about that. And I'm sure this guy would probably pull off any safeguards that they try to institute with OSHA and places like that to at least ameliorate the condition of these people who've done this.
Well, and consider, again, this from that op-ed piece.
They no care whatsoever if they got sick or if they were hurt. You know, they
right.
cast them aside just like they used to do when I get in that movie, The Ten Commandments, where the old lady got caught between the stones. They didn't care. They just threw her right in there, you know.
Yep. And keep moving. Yeah, that's you're absolutely right. And
I called Don Blankenship Baca, the master builder or the master butcher.
Well, that fits.
He didn't act nearly as well as Vincent Price did.
Now you want to talk about disturbing though? Consider the 2008 governor's election in West Virginia. What do you want to bet it's going to be Don Blankenship versus Joe Manchin?
Probably.
Is that one of those where you just leave the thing blank?
I'd rather have Manchin than Blankenship.
Well, yeah, so would I. But I hope we can educate Manchin a little bit between now and then, but that he needs to create, you know, give us a viable choice between the two.
Well, I hope that you'll have a much more viable choice than you envision presently. But I'll tell you, the interview was extremely telling, and I'd heard this man referred to by you in numerous guises. And when I really heard him and heard his philosophy of business and what the commentators had to say at the end of the interview,
you understood why I say what I do.
Yeah, basically I did. And I thought it was a good interview, and I enjoyed it. And NPR is just one of the best things going in the state, I'll tell you.
They do a marvelous, marvelous job, West Virginia Public Radio does.
But like I say, I'm not trying to give a plug. If you have a chance, read about Tab Hunter, the one that he wrote. It's a good read. And it's funny.
Okay, good deal. All right, Jim, we've got to roll. Got to hit the break. Always good to hear from you, man.
Man, you take care.
All right, will do.
Out here.
All right. And let's go ahead and take our break and come back. Whatever's on your mind, but not the least of which, maybe a little bit more about this editorial from the New York Times today. An American Girl. Our daughters have American Girl toys. Guess what? They're the latest on the hit list from the same people that hate Tinky Winky and SpongeBob. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat. Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out!
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Time to take a look back from the caboose and follow the tracks of my life, the tangled about lying true. And I know it's just me, my point of view, but those are the important two. Yeah, I don't need a check with a crown. Wouldn't it be nice to be proud?
Welcome back. I think we're off to a roaring start for a Monday evening. This is Head On. The phone number is, of course, 877-443-2366. 877. Slow down, Bob. This isn't an auction. 877-443-2366 or 304-658-3333. 3333. And, of course, Bob at headonradio.com. So we got two subjects banging around out there so far. One, I think we have put paid to the assertion by the Tulsa School Board that, nothing really happened there. The little feller spent the day in his underwear. Nope, that's, yeah. I think, well, screw what I think. What do you think? Did this mother have a right to be outraged at what was done? As a parent, for God's sakes, did she have a right to be informed that the kid was running around without his clothes on? Two! Okay, I got three. That's two. The so-called costume amounted to a pair of black pants and a black shirt. No swords, no throwing stars, no nunchucks, no headbands, none of that. Did the little fella really need to run around in his long johns all day? Or you know, not even long johns, really. They were apparently shorty. Yes, dear.
They would have barred me from the school because I wear black all the time.
Well, you're a dark person, dear.
I know it, but...
You're goth.
Excuse me.
No, see, that's probably what was going on in the back of the teacher's mind. We got a five-year-old goth here who's going to, like, get all Matrix on us.
I hate to tell you this, but black is slimming.
Yes, it is.
It's a very nice color. It's a classical color.
A little black dress?
And if you cannot tell a pair of long johns from a pair of underwear...
Or sweatpants.
Then evidently you need to go back to school, because I don't think the child was in special ed. I think the teacher was special ed.
Easy there. So, you know, you've got... And third, why not contact the parent? Fourth, why not put the child back in the clothes he at least came to school in at the end of the day? I don't know. I'm guessing Ms. Harris is going to be the proud owner of a school district here in about a year and a half, 2 years. And she deserves it. And the little guy deserves it.
Okay.
Her credibility came through very well over the phone as far as I was concerned. She wasn't reading from any prepared script. She was speaking to us as a mother would speak. Put yourself in her shoes. My lovely wife and I have done that, and we've come down to the idea that there would be hell to pay. So, go figure. Let's go back to the phones. This is the first time through on the new incarnation for our buddy Jethro. Hey, Jethro, you're head on. How you doing?
Bob, how's it going?
Ah, we're having more fun than most people. Well, that's Rush. Never mind. We're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, most people don't have adventures, so.
True.
You're doing good.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yes. So, yeah, my comments were just... Yeah, the stuff with the child is pretty outrageous. My, of course, my topic is the continued failing war effort. Now the Italians are coming out saying they've got proof of the use of chemical weapons in Fallujah.
Oh my God, I missed that today. What's going on?
Well, it was reported well over a year ago, I think. You know, that it was rumored they were using a new kind of napalm.
Well, I remember that. It was napalm in every sense of the word except for the fact that it didn't have the brand name napalm on it.
Yeah, it's MK-77 now. And also, I think, white phosphorus.
Oh, man, Willie Pete.
Willie Pete, right. Which, of course, if you get on your skin, just even a little speck, it burns through till. I guess it falls out on the other side, perhaps, or just maybe it stops at the bone. Who knows?
And both depending on
how big the hunk is.
Aren't napalm and white phosphorus both outlawed by the Geneva Conventions at this point? Or not even the Geneva Conventions, but some other treaty?
Through the UN treaty. I think we signed a UN treaty in 1980 banning the use of napalm. And then again, we signed a treaty, I think it was 1998, banning the use of any type of chemical weapon. So, I don't know what's going on. Just another hack job. Just another sham.
Well, you know, I don't know if you got it around to seeing it. I haven't been on my boards today, but I posted a link to a video there at headonradio.com regarding a sniper that's doing just hellacious damage over there. Did you happen to get a look at that?
No, I did not. My computer, I'm old school. So I didn't get a chance to download that, but I got the gist of it. And the reaction was, you know, pretty much what you would expect. And, you know, you're a commie and you're this and you're that for wanting someone to look at an American soldier getting killed. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, hello, they are getting killed.
Well, yeah, this is not about reveling in that, Jethro. This is about pointing at, my God, can you imagine if the American people saw this, how good... If thousands or millions could see this, how quickly would we be the hell out of there?
Right. Well, they're not showing anything. It's all sanitized, and, you know, they're not showing the people that are returning
wounded, you know, various amputees, and then people blown up with the, you know, there's a lot of major head wounds and stuff going on.
Screaming in the night from the PTSD.
Yes, there's going to be a lot of that too. That really hasn't landed yet, full blown. When everybody else starts, you know, when the thing's over with, whatever is,
yeah,
start coming back. Yeah, over the years, it'll start taking its toll. But it's the same thing, you know, this major offensive against on the, I think it's on the Syrian border. It's Al Qaim and some other.
Yeah.
You know, okay, it starts with an H. I can't.
Hubo
or something.
Hareba or something. Hareba. Yeah, something like that, I believe. I know it ends with BAH.
Yeah, but this is the same deal as Vietnam.
Yeah, look, the Syrian border's Cambodia, man.
Right. What's the same deal? We've gone to Al Qaim before.
Sure.
So we go in, they disappear, you know, we blow up some stuff, kill a few stragglers or whatever, civilians.
Dead-enders.
Leave. We don't have enough troops to control the town, so we have to leave. Same thing with Nam. Have to leave. Fighters move back in. So,
yeah,
some of those places we've retaken, I think, some of them up to 10 times.
And to what end? To what end?
Yeah. I mean, what do we control besides a flimsy control of the Green Zone?
Well, and this sniper in question is operating in Baghdad, you know, brazenly. And the Marines themselves admit, we don't know who he is, we can't find him, we can't kill him, we can't do a darn thing about him, but sit around and die for him.
Well, I mean, you know, Baghdad.
But you and me, we're the ones demoralizing the troops, Jethro.
Yeah, especially in an urban setting. I mean, you know, I'm sure our snipers have taken quite a toll as well. But on the other hand, you know, you have to look, we're taking casualties too. And I think that they are more determined than we are to inflict damage.
Isn't that the nature of war? Isn't the invaded party generally more highly motivated than the invader party? Isn't that what happened in the American Revolution? We were the invaded party.
Yeah, you're fighting for your turf. You're going to protect it, and you're fighting for a lot of stuff: your family, your house, your country, your city, the whole deal. So it would be the same thing if we were invaded. And I just the troops try to put on a good face, but I think they're being coached, just like with the video there a couple of weeks ago, where you had all those
people in there. Yeah, that thing was laughable. I like you very much, President Bush, don't kill me. Yeah, that guy?
Yeah, well, they also had these troops on there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so, but it's just, what gets me is, time after time after time, you see where they try to say, they're saying one thing, but doing another. And trying to put a good face on this war and saying we're making progress. And we're doing this, we're doing that. I don't see where anything's happening.
Well, there is no progress. There's a lot of agitprop and a lot of propaganda and a lot of death and a lot of blood and a lot of grief here back at home and even more so over there. And, you know, John Edwards came out the other day and said he regretted his senatorial vote authorizing the war. We need more Democrats to stand up and do the same thing, Jethro.
Well, I think they need to stand up and get a backbone, but some of them are also saying to some of these Democrats who want to set a deadline and want those troops out of there by, you know, say like the end of 2006. You know, on the other hand, some of the Democrats are saying, hey, don't throw a deadline up because you're going to be pulling Bush's hind end out of the fire. You know, if that goes through, you know, they're saying, you know, stick it out and let him take the whole brunt of it. So,
some of that's just defies reason, Jethro. Because what's the alternative? If we don't set a timetable, therefore we're going to sneak out in the dark of the night. I don't think you can get 160,000 people out in the middle of the night. We got to hit the break, though. So good to hear from you. Hope we'll hear from you again soon, Jethro. Take care.
Sure will, Bob. Yeah, just the Democrats need to get together and decide what they're going to do. Whether they want to, you know, to end it or. For what they're going to do. They need to get out of there is what they need.
I think you're right.
No more troops die.
All right. Take care.
Later, Bob.
Later. All right. Top of the hour break. We'll come back. Hit it again. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Oh, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All right. 6 minutes past the hour on a pretty tolerable Monday evening here in our secure, undisclosed location in the hills of wild, wonderful West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. Come on, let's enjoy the music a little bit. There we go. This is the little dust-up we call Head On. Good old-fashioned West Virginia bar fight without the guns and knives. The phone number, of course, 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366 and 304-658-3333. Learn it, know it, use it, as well as Bob at headonradio.com. Now, I told you that we had some audio from Dear Leader. Now, he stopped, he ran away from Argentina early. Now, bear in mind, there was a soundbite out there. I don't have it handy. I apologize. I'm a pretty small crew here. But he said, if I meet Mr. Chavez, I'll be polite. Because that's what the, I'm not kidding, he said this. That's what the American people expect of their president, to be polite. You know, and that jaw grinding away like the little coke monkey that he is. He is a coke monkey. But anyway, that's what the American people expect of their president, a polite man. Even us Democrats, we're all down with that whole Teddy Roosevelt walk softly and carry a big stick thing. The stick is not what you whack people with. The poor little moron doesn't understand it. The stick is the threat of being whacked. Walk softly, carry a big stick. You know, Iraq is not big stickism, okay? So, he's just that damn dumb. So he flies away from Argentina, leaving some assistant 32nd assistant Noble Turk to handle the negotiations, the proposal to get started on the talks for the free trade agreement of the Americas. Went down in flames. It was a complete Bush loss. And he flew off to Brazil, where he threw a couple of darts at Hugo Chavez, saying, if I recall correctly from the news story, what you've got here is a choice between competing visions of freedom. Or you know, something like that. Dudley Moore, the movie, Christopher Cross, When You Get Caught Between the Moon and New York City. Oh, help me, for God's sakes. Alfred? No, not Alfred. Arthur. It's like having Arthur for your freaking president. Very well. So we get him in Brazil's competing vision between Sioux futures and freedom and 9/11. I think he worked 9/11 in there somewhere. I'm not entirely sure. So sue me. But you know there was some truth. There's always a little tiny kernel, a little tiny nugget, a little bit of it might get the scanning electron microscope out and find that little bit of Bush truth. And it was there. What South America is looking at is a competing vision between two philosophies. And if you compare them side by side, well, what do you got with Hugo Chavez? You got a guy who really, really pissed off the rich people in his country because he said that he had this crazy, radical Christian vision that every Venezuelan should be able to go to the doctor when they're sick. And he had this crazy vision that if you had peasants who were willing to farm the land, that maybe some of that unused land that was just being sat on could be used to make people's lives better. So that's one competing vision. Then you got Bush, where you're free to go to the doctor if you're wealthy enough. You're free to go to the doctor if you've got health care that costs you and your family and perhaps your employer something on the order of $11, $12, $13, $14, $1,500 a month. Yeah, sure, go to the doctor, what the hell. Where, you know, if you've got to make it in Bushmerica, you know, with 3Ks, if you've got to make it, if a family has to make a choice between natural gas in the dead of winter or groceries or gasoline to get to work, that's the free market at work. Regulation's bad. You see? I mean, there was a nugget of truth there. So finally, Dear Leader makes his way from Brazil to Panama. You remember Panama, don't you? Sure you do. Dogs will return to their vomit, I think is the old saying. And, you know, Bush returned to Panama, the scene of one of his daddy's little ginned up wars. Yeah, you remember going to Panama, don't you? We had to smoke out Manuel Noriega, the former CIA operative that George turned on when he was no longer useful and was about to spill the beans about what was about the secret. What secret? There's nothing secret about it. About the CIA cocaine flights from Central America to the left coast, followed shortly thereafter by the crack pandemic. Yeah, you remember that, sure you do. You're smart, you're liberal, you're progressive, you're a Democrat, you're a decent person, you remember that. So he stops in Panama, and he's standing there next to the president of Panama. And he's giving a statement, and they declare that they'll accept two questions, not three, not one, two. One, two, five, three, so, you know. And this is the first, if we can get it queued up, this is the first question that he addressed. Here we go. Listen up.
Okay.
There we go.
Back in October of 2000, this is what you said.
Okay.
We will ask not only what is legal, but what is right, not what the lawyers allow, but what the public deserves. So in the CIA Lee case, has your administration lived up to this campaign promise?
In the CIA Lee case,
has your administration lived up to this campaign promise?
Oh, Deb, look, I said the other day to the press corps that was assembled in Argentina that there's still an ongoing investigation. We take this investigation very seriously, and we'll continue to cooperate during the investigation.
Okay. You got all that. There's some really beautiful Bush stuff in it. Don't get in such a hurry, honey. Go back there. We may need it again. There's some interesting stuff here. Not the least of which is his attempt to play cutesy with it. She says back in 2000. When? Huh? Long time ago. Of course, that was before 9/11. And you know the way that he was thinking. Trying to get around it, trying to play cute. that's funny. So, yeah, we're going to come back to that. We've got to take a break right now. We're going to come back to this and the other soundbite. We're going to go through it in real detail. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I know why you're lonely.
And I know why you're blue.
You're lonesome to see him.
And you are. Her too.
We're not in love with each other. We're in love with our best friends. So let's invite them over again.
And in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
house, exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Yes, here he is. I am him. He is me. We are they, and we are one together. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. This is Head On, and we were talking a little bit about Dear Leader's hemispheric gallivant. God, you ever wonder how much that cost us for him to go down there and publicly humiliate us in Argentina, and then stop and publicly humiliate us in Brazil, and stop and publicly humiliate us in Panama? Jesus, can't he just come home and publicly humiliate us here? Be a hell of a lot simpler now, wouldn't it? So now I want to listen to the front end of Dear Leader's of this quote, this snippet we played for you already. Let's check this out again, if you don't care.
Back in October of 2000, this is what you said.
Okay.
Okay.
We will ask not only what is legal, but what is right, not what the lawyers allow, but what the public deserves. So in the CIA leak case, has your administration lived up to this campaign promise?
No.
In the format, I didn't hear you.
In the CIA leak case, has your administration lived up to this campaign
promise? Oh, Deb, look, I said the other day to the press corps that was assembled in Argentina that there's still an ongoing investigation. We take this investigation very seriously.
Answer the damn question!
And we'll continue to cooperate during the investigation.
Now, see, that's not an answer! She asked him if he had kept his campaign promise, and all he, you know, God knows he's got to stay on script. Because entire cadres of right-wing Bush administration freaks just break into a bullet-shaped flop sweat every time he deviates from the script. So he's asked, did you keep the, you know, you said all this highfalutin, the high-toned language about how you were going to seek to do not just what the lawyer said was legal, but what was right. Did you keep that promise? That's, I don't know. To me, that's a yes or no question. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. What do we get? We're taking this investigation very seriously. Now, I didn't monkey with that. Those are his words in response to that question. We take this investigation. You know, were you now or ever have you? Senator McCarthy, we're taking your investigation very seriously. What the hell? I mean, that's worse than lying. That's some sort of damnation by faint praise. This is what we're dealing with. Okay, next cut. This is an extension of his remarks. This is question number two. He was only allowed to take two questions. I mean, you know.
Mr. President, there has been a bit of an international outcry over reports of secret U.S. prisons in Europe for terrorism suspects. Will you let the Red Cross have access to them? And do you agree with Vice President Cheney that
Don't
the CIA
get your hopes
should
up.
Be exempt from legislation to ban torture?
Fire bad.
Our country is at war.
Really?
And our government has the obligation to protect the American people. Executive branch has the obligation to protect the American people. The legislative branch has the obligation to protect the American people.
Okie dokie.
And we are aggressively doing that.
Huh?
We are finding terrorists and bringing them to justice.
Which
we are
one?
Gathering information about where the terrorists may be hiding. We are trying to disrupt their plots and plans.
Uh-huh.
Anything we do to that effort, to that end, in this effort, any activity we conduct is within the law. We do not torture.
You
and therefore,
that.
We're working with Congress to make sure that as we go forward, we make it
Pause
possible.
Pause up a minute. Pause up. Did you get that? Anything we do is within the law. I mean, that is the George Bush. I mean, we joke. I use the phrase from time to time from Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Well, you know, badges. We don't need no stinking badges. That is that. That is we don't need no stinking badges. Anything we do is within the law. If we take broom handles and stick them up the backsides of 15-year-old Muslim boys, as was done at Abu Ghraib, that is within the law, baby. If we force-feed hunger-striking prisoners at Guantanamo, that is within the law. Doesn't matter. To a punk like this, it does not matter what the law says. He declares the law. If the poor goober had the sense to speak French, he would be completely on board with Louis XIV when he said, L'état, c'est moi, hein? The state is me. Or maybe it's Judge Dredd. Oh, I am the law. This is the way this creep thinks. Go ahead, pick it up again.
Mr. President, there has been a bit of an international outcry over reports of secret U.S. prisons in Europe for terrorism suspects. Will you let the Red Cross have access to them? And do you agree with Vice President?
Make it possible, more possible, to do our job. There's an enemy that lurks.
Lurks.
And plots and plans and wants to hurt America again. And so you bet we'll aggressively pursue them. But we will do so under the law. And that's why you're seeing members of my administration go and brief the Congress.
Okay. And does anybody here, after that babble, does anybody here remember what the question was? Class? The question was, Mr. Bush, will you allow the Red Cross in to your secret torture camps? Yes? No? Maybe? Gonna look into it? Instead we get, huh? Everything we do is within the law. Well, nobody asked you about the law, doofus. You were asked whether or not you will let the Red Cross into your secret torture camps run by the CIA in Eastern Europe and the Middle East. Anybody? Hear the crickets?
You know, that's why my administration's going and meeting with people in the Congress. Really? That's why you're sending Dick Cheney out to say, we're not really torturing anybody, but we sure do need a law that says it's okay if we want to. Well, damn it, torture's fun when you get to be my age. You can't do much anything else, but torture's pretty cotton-picking exciting. It just hurts. It just hurts. We don't want to torture anybody, but it sure would be nice if you wouldn't tie our hands to keep us from torturing anybody. Okay, got that. Right there with you. Attaboy, Dick. It would be kind of nice to know if they're going to let the Red Cross into the torture camps. I mean, hell, at least they let the Red Cross into Gitmo. Well, we can't let the Red Cross in because, well, it's not on U.S. soil or soil at the U.S. So we'd have to have the other governments okay the Red Cross to come in, and so far they haven't. Well, what countries? We're following the law. You understand how it works? Oh my God, this is some sort of twisted P.T. Barnum garbage. Take a break.
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
Now life devalues day by day.
front is stripped like desert sands, while nations wash their bloody hands of loyalty and history in shame.
Welcome back. Yeah, so I like a little Pink Floyd now and then. Give me a break. So what if it was down tempo? It's great. A little less than 27 minutes before the hour. Halfway done. I'm always amazed. The day creeps by, the day creeps by, the day creeps by. Creep, 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 creep. And then bang, 7:06 hits, and something Einsteinian or relativistic happens, and the 3 hours go gone. And it's happening again. Couple of emails for you. One from our good buddy David. Said, wow, so good to hear Jethro. Good voice, great thoughts. Now if we can just coax some of the wing nuts out from under their sheets. Oops. Bad metaphor. Anyway, come on. Call in, you revved up right-wing thought master. Or is it that you're so bummed that you can't stand the mess your party's making? Oh, I think we have some official taunting here, don't we? Really, Rove may get the axe. Scooter's indicted. Various lobbyists are on the ropes. And Dick and his hand puppet, sock puppet, whatever, W, are asking us not to prosecute their boys for torture they say they didn't do. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, David. We didn't do it. We wasn't there. And even if we did do it, we was only following orders. Oh, and then there's oil companies gouging us and Katrina to clean up after. Oh, Jeff, they're there. It'll all be better in a few elections. With regard to dear leader's stopover in Panama and Brazil and Argentina, at least he had a non-scripted news conference there. He won't have one here. I don't know, if you listen to those sound bites, and we'll have to go back to it, David. If you listen to those sound bites, do you hear the same kind of gappy sort of attenuated thought processes that we heard back in the debates when he had the big lump under his jacket? Look how much we learned from just two questions. Wouldn't 10 be even better? Thanks, David. Thanks very much. And, listen, let's do this again from the top.
Back in October of 2000, this is what you said.
Okay.
Okay.
We will ask not only what is legal, but what is right, not what the lawyers allow,
what the public deserves. So in the CIA lead case, has your administration lived up to this campaign promise?
In the, pardon me, I didn't hear you.
In the CIA lead case,
now,
has
see,
your
I don't know if he was saying he didn't hear her, or he didn't hear the little voice.
I said the other day to the press corps that was assembled in Argentina that there's still an ongoing investigation. We take this investigation very seriously. And we'll continue to cooperate during the investigation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Kind of attenuated, kind of weird. Try the other cut real quick. Let's takes a minute sometimes.
President, there has been a bit of an international outcry over reports of secret U.S. prisons in Europe for terrorism suspects. Will you let the Red Cross have access to them, and do you agree with Vice President Cheney that the CIA should be exempt from legislation to ban torture?
Our country is at war, and our government has the obligation to protect the American people. Executive branch has the obligation to protect the American people. The legislative branch has the obligation to protect the American people.
Do you hear the gap?
And we are aggressively doing that.
We are
finding terrorists and bringing them to justice. We are gathering information about where the terrorists may be hiding. We are trying to disrupt their plots and plans.
Doesn't make any sense. Big old gap. Drive
anything
a truck through
we
it.
Do to that effort.
Well, I think
end,
you get the idea. Take it down.
Any activity we conduct.
You get the idea. Did you hear the gaps? Those are... any of you guys ever done community theater? Anybody ever been on stage and gone up on your lines? Oh, hell, what do I say next? Beat, beat, beat. And somebody's standing over in the wings. Now is the winter of our discontent. Now is the winter of our discontent. Beat, 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 beat. Made glorious summer by this son of York. Made glorious summer by this son of York. Beat, 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 beat. And all the clouds that lowered over our housetops in the deep bosom of the ocean buried. And all the clouds that lowered over our housetops buried in her bosom. You see? I don't know how off the cuff this was. Let's go to the phones. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, you're head on.
Hey, Bob. Great to have you back on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
I was really sort of heartbroken when you got dumped before, and I'm glad that Ben is putting you on the air for us to listen to when we're a little bit out of radio range.
Well, you know, with Ben, you know, he came in here before we went on the air, hooked up all the computers, made everything work. And when he drove off, I felt like it was the end of the end of Casablanca. Louis, I think this could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, well, you know, the first week was a little bit hard.
Oh, God. Oh, you should try being where I was.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been in electronics for 30 years, and if I could have driven down there and given you my help, I'd have done it.
Well, I appreciate it. Some of this, though, had to do with me, the faulty nut behind the equipment, and teaching my lovely wife how to do some of this stuff.
Well, technology is a wonderful thing, but it's not quite as tried and true and obvious as you'd like it to be.
Well, it is, and surprisingly, there's a lot of this stuff that when you order broadcast gear, they make a lot of assumptions, like you know what the heck you're doing.
Oh yeah, well that pretty much goes for everything. I also wanted to comment on Jim's call earlier tonight. He
yeah.
was talking about Blankenship and you know his support for you know the mountain topic, and I don't know how many people have a real good historical reference on West Virginia's history, but I heard a song about a month ago or so about the Battle of Blair Mountain,
mm-hmm.
and and it really laid down the history of the union organization and how they were being beat down by basically mercenary thugs.
Right.
And I think, unfortunately, we're going to come down to a situation very similar to that in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, I think you're absolutely... Well, this is the backward stuff that Jim was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you realize it or not, Jeff. The government has set aside this little... And the New York Times editorial discusses it. This little Disneyland-like chunk of Blair Mountain.
Yeah.
The rest of it's going to be leveled, flattened, and if Don could flatten the rest of it and just take our history away from us, he'd feel much better about it.
Yeah, you don't want people to remember, you know, how much pain and suffering people went through to get the rights they had.
Well, absolutely, and if you recall, our Republican governor, Morgan something or something Morgan, called out the troops, and it was the first time that the American government had ever used aerial bombing techniques. It was
yep.
Billy Mitchell, and the federal government dropped bombs on its own citizenry.
Yeah. It wasn't too far after that we had the, the veterans in Washington being driven out of the city by force.
Yeah, that was the bonus, what were they called, the bonus army?
Yeah, the bonus army.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of brutality in American history, and you know, people call me anti-American for bringing it up. I don't see it that way. It's not all sugar-coated. We have to remember the hard times as well as the good.
You've got to admit the reality, and that's one thing that we're sorry for, as far as accepting what's real and dealing with it.
Well, I think, especially in the last 5 years, we're not so good with the reality thing. And, and they said so. We're not reality people.
Yeah. They publicly admitted it.
Yes, they did. Jeff, so good to hear from you, man. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
Yeah, well, Pennsylvania's got your back.
All right, thanks, man. Later.
Take care.
Bye now. And quick break. More phone calls after that. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle. For your free Buy Recycle shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Thanks for sticking around. Appreciate it. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. That's Tanya Adkins, by the way. Can she sing or what? Just the beautiful voice. Beautiful and some darn good musicians behind her, too. Sure do appreciate her cutting that version of a little parody of Country Roads for us. Straight back to the phones. David's with us. Hey, David, you're Head On.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, David.
So the young lady could sing, could she?
Yes, she can.
Oh, I wish I could have heard it on the break, but oh well.
You didn't hear that?
No, none of that came through. The line went completely dead, but no matter.
Oh well, more technical gremlins to work out. My sincere apologies.
Those darn gremlins.
Oh, they drive me crazy.
They drive us all crazy.
I hate it when I see them unbidden. You know, it's one thing to want to see them. It's another to have them just, you know, come.
It's even worse when they come by when you don't want them.
Right.
Exactly. Broom pump.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I heard W say something about our job's to protect the American people. And then he launched into that tangential diatribe, that diarrhea, the mouth routine. My big question is, why won't he protect us?
Amen. Darn fine question.
He sent soldiers to Iraq without the right armor, without the right equipment. He didn't send enough. He asked them to do something they weren't really trained to do. They were trained to kill. They were trained to knock over government, but they weren't trained to, you know, create a police action around his own odd, stupid idea of you know,
yeah, and they weren't trained to walk around Baghdad with targets on their back. It doesn't work that way.
He was supposed to protect the citizens of America by finding someone to head FEMA, like Bill Clinton did, that knew what they were doing. He was there to protect us from the ravages of nature when they do occur by funding it properly, not gutting it, giving it over to Nosferatu Chertoff,
Skeletor,
putting a guy in charge of the rebuilding and the purportedly, ostensibly, you know, should it happen, the guy that had put on horse shows was going to make sure 800,000 people had somewhere to go, something to do when they got there, food and drink along the way. Oh, yeah, and the levees would be taken care of, too. But, no, that guy was busy planning a horse show.
And ordering and recommending the tater tots meal at Sonic. Oh, my God.
Who was the guy that said, aren't I a clothes horse?
Yeah, that's Brownie.
Don't I look good? Yeah.
I'm a Brownie. Fashion god.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. Just keep up the good work, and I'll be out of office in 15 minutes. You know, if we were only so lucky. So anyway, I get back to the original question. W, when are you going to start protecting us?
Now, that would be never.
That would be never. But there's tax breaks for the oil companies. Oh, wait a second. Same oil companies that racked up. What was it?
Exxon Mobil alone, good for $10 billion in one quarter?
One quarter. 10, billion dollars. Yeah. Billion, then billion.
And that's just the skimmings off the top. That's the profit. That's not operating capital. That's just the good stuff.
Golly, Sergeant Kincaid, you sure are smart.
Pile!
Exactly. That's the profit. There are strong, vigorous nations in this world. I dare say that, let's pick one. I'm not sure Denmark has a national, their gross national product may not be $10 billion. The entire nation of Denmark may not be $10 billion. And a group of greedy stockholders and company owners, and I want to finish that point, just in one quarter of a year, put $10 billion in a bag and put it under the table. And right now, ExxonMobil is not paying stockholders anything extraordinary in terms of a dividend. They're keeping it. They're keeping it for themselves so they can bribe and create power.
Bully.
And bully, and later rake the earth. And what is George Bush and Dick Cheney doing? They're creating tax breaks for those companies as opposed to asking them to pay very reasonable additional taxes on windfall profits.
By God, if we ever stopped worrying about little lost blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls in Aruba, we might get pissed off about this, mightn't we, David?
If we stopped caring about two young men flooded with testosterone that happened to think about other young men flooded on testosterone, if we stop thinking about two men holding hands anywhere in the world and started thinking about what we were doing to our own economy, we're about to rape and pillage food stamps and Medicare and all the rest of it, and there are Republicans in Congress talking about its fiscal responsibility. The Republican Party has to get back to its roots and really make a bigger mess of our nation.
Yeah, that did take me a little bit aback yesterday, David, in one of the Sunday blabfests, when Oklahoma's truly bizarre Republican Senator Tom Coburn came out and said, I think he said it to Tim Russert, he said the Republican Party is spending our children's future. You could have knocked me over with a gentle breath, with a feather.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to remain upright.
But, you know, that's okay, because either a little bit before that or a little bit after that, he declared that by virtue of his special double-secret probation skills as a physician, he can look at someone and know when they're lying.
Oh, speaking of the cat killer?
No one wonders.
Yeah, I don't wonder anymore. But I the only wonder, the only curiosity, the big question is, come on, America. It's right in front of phones ringing. Take the call. You know, it's reality on the line.
Yeah.
It'll be bitter for a while, but you'll work your way through it. You'll feel really good once you vote the scoundrels out. And in microcosm, kind of at an accelerated pace, and just so nobody forgets, why won't George protect us? Has anybody noticed how it's going for Der Fuhrer? Governor Schwarzenegger?
No.
All of those wonderful Republican ideals aren't playing really well now that California has seen them. You know, California, the great laboratory of all things that
right.
become the rest of the country. All of those Republican ideas and ideals are being unmasked, revealed, decoded, deciphered, shown for what they are. And
along the way, Arnold is looking just a little bit crazy.
Oh, gee.
You know, he's gone from the Gropinator or the Governator or whatever he is. He's gone from that to Captain Queeg.
I could have saved California, but it was the unions that took it from me. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It was the unions. The teachers' union. The legislature gave to the unions. Yeah.
Oh, right. Come on now, Arnold. You know what? And
Oh, did you catch? We got to go pretty quick. But did you catch where they pulled a bush out at an Arnold rally and stopped Warren Beatty and his extremely beautiful wife Annette Bening? He showed up to go to an Arnold function. They stopped him. You do not have the appropriate papers. Your papers are not in order. You are not allowed in here. They really did that. Can you imagine Arnold Schwarzenegger being scared to death of Warren freaking Beatty?
That is so pathetic. Oh, I mean, what? You know, does Arnold wear a little wire? Oh, yeah, the reason George couldn't hear what that woman was saying in whatever country that was.
Yeah.
He's got the earpiece in one and your finger in the other. So, huh, what's that? I can't hear a word you're saying. I got a finger in my ear. What? Huh?
We got to roll, David. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, you have no idea. It's a blast.
Okay, come throw sand all over.
All right. Later.
See ya.
All right. Break, and we'll come back. More of your phone calls if you want. 877-4-HEAD-ON. This is Head On.
Nights in shining karma will be made.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4.5.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks, too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
Calling to the
friends and money. Dad, get me out of this. In a hard place.
This last hour at Dandy. What do you say? Yeah, about 6 minutes after the hour, so 50 minutes to deal with here. You know, it's one of the fun things about doing this show is the sense of community that we've developed. There's a real regard and respect and almost familial sense among the listeners. And for folks that are new to the show, stick around. You'll get to be part of the family, too. Email from our pal, Nanette. She says, hey, Bob and Agnes, I agree with David. It was so good to hear from Jethro. See, everybody has their own little private fan club here. And I have to agree that the right-wingers won't call in because there's no way that they can say anything to justify what's going on with this administration. Maybe they're hiding in shame under their beds. If they're not ashamed, they sure should be. Great show tonight. You know, it's folks like Nanette and Jethro and Jim and Jeff and David that make the show worth doing, make the show fun, and make us feel like here that we're not just talking to a couple of really high-tech looking microphones, but there's actually people down that wire. And people is what this is about. And, you know, for that matter, you know, I'll run off on my little tangents and my little rants from time to time and periodically lose my freaking mind. But I mentioned it a couple of times in the show's previous incarnation. I have a theory. Or a view of talk radio. Especially as it applies to liberals and progressives and Democrats and decent people. If you listen to the vast majority of right-wing hate radio, and David alluded to this, Flush Flimbaugh is big on it. So is the Savage Wiener, that cretin Jerry Doyle. They all have something in common, and that is a caller gets on about long enough to bend over and pucker up and plant a big wet one on the hind end of the host. And the host then goes off and, well, enough about you. Let's talk about me. I despise that. And that idea in the liberal or progressive manifestation of talk radio will never work. Wingnuts have to be lectured to because they do not have any thoughts to call their own. Wingnuts have to be lectured to because they can't operate without talking points. They can't sit and rationally work through the issues. They have to be told what to think. That's one of the elements that makes me think that there's a truly nasty little fascist streak in them. That's the very nature of fascism. You know, don't bother thinking. We'll do it for you. You might hurt yourself. We don't do that in liberal talk radio. I don't want to do that here at Head On. I would far rather have a conversation. This is far more about you guys than it is about me. Especially in light of the fact that, we don't turn dials in car radios anymore. You can't button 1/10 of a kilohertz up the AM dial or a megahertz up the FM. More the AM, really. Without hearing yet one more right-wing freak out there spilling his guts on the morning's talking points out of that have just blasted into his facts from Karl Rove's or the Heritage Foundation or some other, there's some other freak organization. We're liberals. We have our own thoughts. We have our own ability to process. We have an ability to dialogue and converse. And so I hope as the show grows and progresses that that is what it will be. A dialogue and a conversation. Because I'm comfortable behind a microphone, but my ego's really not that big. I'm part of the brown beans and cornbread crowd. You know, give me that and a couple of stalks of fresh green onions out of the garden, I'm good to go. And I'm not terribly overawed with myself, I guess I should say. Yes, dear.
But, Bob, at least you don't sit and read the paper for hours on end and put everyone to sleep.
Now, see, there you go being mean. I don't like to do that either. Yes, dear.
And the right wings won't call because they get their bums spanked. They don't want to have a reasonable
conversation. That was a visual. That was a visual that I was going to.
About that.
Yeah, thanks.
But they won't. They won't call and try to have a conversation because they want to be right, yet they're wrong.
No. You can't challenge one's allegiance to dear leader. It's.
But you can't challenge fact either.
Well, you know, I mean, now we're talking about wingnuts here, the people that think, for instance, that Ronald Reagan was a great president. And, of course, Ronald Reagan, I remember him for two things. Ketchup is a vegetable, and facts are stupid things.
Oh, but wait. He was far better president than what's going on now. You got to give him that.
No, I won't give him that. He was a hateful, vicious...
He had dementia.
Well, later on, yeah, but he didn't have dementia when he was governor of California and he was attacking the students at Berkeley. He didn't have dementia when he turned on his brothers and sisters in the Screen Actors Guild and named names to McCarthy. No, that wasn't dementia. That's just plain old, typical, common, garden variety Republican hate.
I thought it was cowardism, trying to keep their butt out of the fire.
Well, I guess there was an element of that, too. So... There's our little philosophy discussion for the evening. My apologies. We now return you to your regularly scheduled insane talk radio host. Let's go ahead, take our break, come back, and we were talking a little bit about oil in the last hour. You're going to love this because it's a new segment where I share with you stuff that is coming in from right-wing think tanks. We were talking about the talking points. Wait till you hear this one. Sit down. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
On a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer when it's most treatable is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Keep on going on. A little fun, I promise you. Now, we've watched the rapacious greed. Is that even a strong enough word for what the oil companies have done? $10 billion in quarterly profits for ExxonMobil. And then, you know, there are the other poor little oil companies that were only doing $2 or $3 or $4 billion with their little noses pressed up against the frosted ExxonMobil window pane. Oh, we're poor. So, in my inbox today, an advisory for a guest I can have. If you believe that oil is a fossil fuel, woo! Wow, this, you know, when they start off with a firecracker like that, you know it's got to be good. If you believe that oil is a fossil fuel, be prepared to have your thoughts turned upside down. Okay. If you believe that the U.S. has no choice but to rely on foreign oil until we ultimately run out of the precious resource, prepare to be challenged by the new views that have the opportunity to give birth to a new generation of oil politics and economics. The myth of scarcity of oil is the premise of this book. It explores and debunks some of the popular myths surrounding the international and domestic politics of oil production and consumption to provide Americans with beneficial information on the internet. The authors expose the fraudulent science and irresponsible politics that have been sold to the American people in order to enslave them. Here's one of those. Here's that irresponsible science. Get ready. I told you. Sit down. You're going to love this one. It's going to send you running for the medicine cabinet. I mean, if we're going to believe this stuff, let's all just do the acid and get it over with. The authors reject the contention that oil was formed from the remains of plants and animal life that died millions of years ago. They instead rely on an argument by some guy named Thomas Gold that oil is abiotic, a primordial material that the earth forms and exudes on a continual basis, like some sort of geophysical zit, I guess. Did you get that? This is the thinking of the weirdo right now. Oil is not a fossil fuel. I guess coal's not a fossil fuel, never mind the fact that when my father labored under the earth, he could look up into the roof and see the fossilized imprints of ferns, for God's sakes. Nope. God just put them ferns there in the coal to confound the unbelievers. I got my own little laugh track. Oil is pushed upward toward the Earth's surface by the intense pressures of the Earth's core and the influence of the centrifugal force that the Earth exerted upon the specific gravity of oil as a fluid substance. Huh? What, Edith? There's a book. This book is out there, and I'm not going to tell you what the name of it is. I don't want to enrich these goobers. Oil is not really a fossil fuel. And it just bubbles up here and there for the hell of it. And the dinosaurs, well, they weren't really dinosaurs. Do you see what we're dealing with here? I mean, you remember that old Sid and Marty Croft series, The Land of the Lost? This is kind of it. Let's go to the phones. Ben's with us. Hey, Ben, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Doing good.
You know, the thing these people miss... Thomas Gould, you know, a brilliant man.
Okay.
Brilliant man. There may be something to his abiotic theory of oil. He did, for example, predict that you would find living things as deep as you could drill. And
okay.
In fact, when we drill down 35,000 feet into the earth, we find bacteria that can, once you bring them out, be cultured still.
Right.
Okay.
The weird bacteria that live down... By the subterranean vents at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
The Thomas Gould predicted that stuff, and everyone told me it's crazy. The thought is that there could, in fact, be some amount of hydrocarbon coming up from the Earth's crust. But is this enough to have filled all of the oil pools that we see? No.
Well, no,
and if we emptied an oil pool and then waited for it to refill by that mechanism, how long would we wait?
Well, we wouldn't. Our, you know,
great
yeah, exponential grandchildren.
Maybe might see some oil in there that wasn't there when we left it. Okay.
Yeah, and I understand. Well, you know, NASA's missions to the other planets and the moons thereof. Titan has a sea of methane.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, these things can be formed outside plant processes.
Precisely.
But we're talking here about processes that, 125 years worth of geology have pretty much established.
And the isotope ratios in most petroleum are such that you would only find them in something that had formerly been alive.
Well, I remember that, I think it was Exxon, back when I was a kid, they had an animated cartoon where dinosaur was riding an elevator, and it said, you know, bottom floor, fossil fuels. And it was terribly cute, but and then the dinosaur just sort of oozed out as oil at the bottom of the elevator. Boy, where did I get that? But we don't know everything, but this is, when I read this, this is another assault on science.
It's an assault on science, and it's by implication. The reason people are going to take this up is it's an assault on evolution.
Bingo.
If you can't have fossil fuel oil if you don't have deep time.
Right. You know, you give these guys what they want, and bang, there we are, Earth 6,000 years old again. And
right. Yeah, the whole notion, you see, you can't even get these guys to go along with the idea of there being deep time. Because if there were deep time, we'd have to explain where people were during that entire period of time between chapter 5 of Genesis and chapter 6 of Genesis. Okay, the billion years that people would have had to be around somewhere waiting for the next thing to happen that gets recorded in Yahweh's little book.
Right.
They don't want to have to explain that because they can't, and so they have to do anything to reject deep time. But what I'm saying is, you know, they're basically using Thomas Gold's theory, which may have some validity to it, although it's not the explanation for why there is oil. So don't make the mistake of conflating him with this.
No. I hope I didn't come across that way.
I'm just hoping people don't, though, because
yeah.
It would be easy to think he's one of the crazies. No, he's just a well-meaning, slightly crackpotty scientist who these people are misusing.
And misusing for a very, very clearly stated goal that I think you identified pretty well. You can see it every day if you wander over to Democratic Underground to the segment on science. There's all kinds of theories floating around, but there's constant, you know, the nature of science is such that it constantly reexamines itself. There is no received wisdom. There is no gospel.
Right.
But the wingnuts want to take that and use that as a reason to reject it all out of hand.
Yes, they're saying since you have no gospel, then obviously, there's nothing we can print in a book,
and there's nothing that we can make money on cable networks. There's nothing that we can use to filch social security checks out of little old ladies, and you know that's where their heart lies.
Yeah, well, there are two classes of people that are wingnuts. There's the sheep and the wolves. And the wolves are actually very smart.
Yeah, the wolves are your Wolfowitzes and your Pearls. And your
Cheneys
and your Dobsons.
You know, Dobson's not an ignorant man.
No, you don't get through.
Very sharp.
You don't get through USC with a PhD by being a complete booby.
Nope. And he knows exactly what it is he's doing, and he knows exactly what end game he wants.
You're absolutely right. We got to hit it, Ben.
You take care, sir.
Later.
Bye.
God, this is so much fun. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
This is the home stretch. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is 877-4 Head On. That's 877-443-2366, or alternatively, area code 304-658-3333. Wait a minute. Got an email. Thank you, Thing. Dear Bob. This is from our pal, Jaloris. The Bush administration reminds me of the song from the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Oh, God, that's apropos. Remember the song by the politician, Sidestep? Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay, there's another one for the list, honey. The politician sings about talking but never saying anything. I think the Bush administration studied that song before they took office so they'd know how to talk to the press. Sue. Prefers Sue over the other name. Thanks, Sue. You're absolutely right. Oh, yeah. Only in this case, we're listening to the best little whorehouse from Texas. Ugh. Carl Rove, that whole crowd. What a mess. I've had this laying around. You guys deserve to know about it, just in case, just in case somebody wants to give you that putrid line of hooey about, America's got the best health care system in the world. This is a week old. What's causing the increased death rate among babies in the United States? While the health of infants in many countries is improving, babies born in the United States now face an increased risk of dying in the first year of life. The U.S. infant mortality rate is on the rise for the first time since 1958. 47 years of decreasing infant mortality rates. And under dear leader...
Now see, that's the way it is with you liberals. Everything has got to be George Bush's fault.
Well, pardon me for my little Forrest Gump moment here, but pretty is pretty does. Jesus. Since 1958... In 2001, the infant mortality rate was 6.8 deaths per 1,000 live births. In 2002, the rate rose to 7. 2003 data is not yet complete. Up and up and up and up and up. Now, here's the part where you feel real good, lurkers, about being a Bush voter. The CIA World Factbook estimates the infant mortality rate in the United States is now comparable to, Croatia, Lithuania, and Taiwan. Yay, us! Let's hear it for that free market healthcare system. Can I get an amen for a free market healthcare system?
Amen.
Thank you, sister. Cuba.
Now, see, I knew he couldn't get nowhere without bringing in that damn Chavez and that damn Castro. You know, they're communists.
Cuba has a lower infant mortality rate than the United States of America.
Seems like they're doing pretty well for their people then.
Boy.
But of course, we know that, wasn't it Pat Robertson?
A minute. No, you see, you got to understand what you just did, honey.
Commit a faux pas?
You fox passed.
I fox passed.
You're gonna get your very first hate mail from some wing that she's a communist. I know it. And them raising them poor little children to be communists.
Guys, come on! I've already had hate mail. You know.
Okay. So anyway, the United States is ranked 28th in the world in infant mortality. Man, you don't even make the playoffs when you're 28th in the world. And we're so far behind, we can't even see Sweden, France, Japan, and Germany. Infant mortality. That's, you know, having a, you know, the normal little baby and dies in the first year of life.
Where's all the right-to-lifers now?
Well, honey, they're morally bankrupt and ethically dead. They can't be bothered with these babies. They're in their first year of life. They've been born. Screw them.
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to protect my kids, but now I'm down to protecting my womb.
Well,
I'm afraid they're going to come and take it.
Oh, God, you're just egging me on. Just egging me on. Just egging me. Goad me. No. Because she's got an iron skillet here. But with all due honesty, there's got to at least be a little bit of pleasure in this for people like Bingo Billy Bennett. Remember Bingo Billy? Of course you do. That'd be reprehensible, but if you aborted all the Negro babies, your crime rate would go down. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Yeah, I mean, you know, he said it. We all heard it. It's okay. So he's got to at least be feeling better about that. Well, you know, our crime rate's going down because our infant mortality rate's going up, and some of those is Negro babies.
I'm going to get hate mail.
Well, I'm used to it. So, not, you know, don't feel so good. Oh, and by the way, another one out there for the, this one really ought to, well, does it or doesn't it? This one might get a little traction with the anti-woman, barefoot and pregnant crowd. You know, the pasty-faced, doughy, old white men who talk about the right to life and the Stepford wives. That, my husband's right. He controls my uterus. According to healthcare experts, the number of babies born preterm has increased in general, and preterm populations are at a higher risk for morbidity and mortality. That's a fancy way of saying that premature births are up in the U.S. It's getting harder and harder and harder and harder for women to carry a baby to a full 40-week term. Could that possibly have anything to do with poisons in the air, poisons in the water, poisons in the earth, poisons in the food? Now, long before the new incarnation of this show, we had a report some several months ago, maybe a year ago, I don't know. I lost my mind that night about the testing that was done on lettuce, for God's sakes, from Maine to Spain and home to Rome. And the lettuce, you know. I'd like lettuce on that McFat burger. Yeah, the lettuce has rocket fuel in it. So does mother's milk from Jersey to California, from Florida to Washington, and Texas to North Dakota. Rocket fuel. And premature births are on the rise. Yeah, but, you know, West Virginians for life and the Georgians for life and Tennesseans for life and Pennsylvanians for life and New Yorkers for life and Minnesotas, they can't be bothered. And you will never, ever, 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 ever see a report coming out of that bunch of cranky old hateful fascist that talks for a minute about the rising mortality rate for infants a year older or about the rising premature birth data in this country, because they don't give a damn. You see, they don't give a damn. They are they're the uterus hating crowd. They're the women hating crowd. They're the people who want to get who want to really, really get medieval on our collective national ass and go back to the days when women. Remember our buddy Sammy Melito wanting to uphold a statute that said a woman had to get her husband's permission in order to seek an abortion? Yeah, those people. Time travelers, for God's sakes. The only thing is, you know, they don't want to go forward and find a cure for cancer. No, no, they want to travel back in time and, well, you know, keep the woman home, keep her having babies. No contraception for you, sister! Doesn't matter if you're married or not. If you are married, it's your damn job to have babies for your husband. Whether he wants them or not, whether he can afford to feed them or not, whether you can afford to feed them or not, got to have some babies for the for dear Fueler. So we got increasing infant mortality in a nation that's already 28th in the world. Down there at 28, hanging out with our buddies Croatia, Lithuania, and Taiwan. We got higher rates of premature births. My God. So we've got, you know, I hate to be just crass. We've gotten that out of the way. It deserved to be talked about. It deserved to be mentioned. But we can't have any of that universal health care, because that's communism. That's communism. And once a baby's been birthed in a communist medical system, the next thing you know, they're marching up and down the sidewalks, and they're crawling in their little baby clothes and singing the Internationale. God, I hate a wingnut. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
and its final sliding down. But I can't on her, and I never will. No, I can't on her.
I'm 9.
I'm 4 and a half.
And I've got asthma. You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Right.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
All right, let's finish up. Great email from Sue. A little heads up from Head On. Today, the Pentagon notified 92,000 fresh U.S. troops to prepare for rotation to Iraq over a 2-year period beginning in mid 2006. 2006 plus 2. Yeah. So we know the Pentagon is planning on being there till 2008. Disturbing? Yeah. Guess what? We're going to be there. Cheney was probably telling the truth. We're going to be there for a generation. Or at least that's the plan. Why build all those permanent military bases otherwise? Got a kid who's 8, 9, 10? That child will be needed in another 8 or 10 years. Once the whole nation is still spitting on the ground... at the very mention of the name of George Bush, we will still be over there, and we will still be beset by Democrats who won't come out and say, you know, we got to set up a timetable to get the hell out of there. disturbing, isn't it? The Pentagon cautioned that the new number did not signal immediate plans to slash a much higher U.S. troop level now in that country. Not get any smaller. Might get a little bigger. But it's going to be there for a long, long time. To the phones, Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on. Yo, Wayne.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
Okay, how's it going with you?
We've had a great time tonight.
Well, this is really, really clear. The only thing is, did we bring that static thing over from NR?
What static thing?
The thing where you flick to get to me.
Oh, the beep thing?
It ain't a beep, it's a static.
No, it's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a switch I can switch. Supposedly, it makes it easier for callers to know they're on the air.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're a veteran. You're a pro. You know, you don't have to be told. But, you know, with people who aren't familiar with talk radio, it's a little easier sometimes.
Oh, everybody. You know, all you got to do is get on it.
Yeah.
Talk.
Right.
That's what they call it, talk radio.
Yeah. Or conversation radio.
Well, listen, I know it's late, and you know, there's no time left. I've been, you know, at a union meeting, and, you know.
That's a good thing.
That's a real good thing. That's an excellent thing.
America would be better off if more people were going to them.
There are going to be more people going to them. You know, I'll tell you what, the first time I ever talked to you on the radio, you said to me something to the effect of George Bush is about the
best thing that ever happened to the labor movement, yeah.
Yes. And, you know, it kind of took me back. Well, yeah. You were absolutely right, Bob. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, come on. You know, it's time for working people to stand up and say, you know, we just want, you know, we don't want the whole pie. We want a little bit bigger piece.
Yeah, we'd like a little bit more than crust. You know, maybe some of the peaches or cherries or apples that are in there, you know, the good stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, and not all of it. We're willing to allow you to have your share.
And health care benefits does not constitute whipped cream on that pie.
No, it doesn't.
No, that's part of the...
You know, it's a very simple thing. Good wages, good health insurance.
Decent retirement.
Good pension.
Yeah.
Good for the community.
Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with that? How can people argue with that? You know, but.
Well, you really can't. And the thing is, if our side of the fight, Wayne, will quit letting the Republicans define what we stand for us, if we start asking the questions, do you believe every American should have a shot at the American dream, should have enough education or have a decent job to take a shot at a middle-class living? And the answer is yes, then you vote Democrat. It's that easy.
Well, exactly. Now, and they've done many polls and surveys on that, and the answer is yes. The fact of the matter is,
always
the
yes.
Majority of people in this country are more progressive than they are conservative.
Oh, by far and away.
It's that simple.
But yeah. You know, if on the other hand we let them, yeah, you know,
we have to embolden them. Remember, I explained that to you the other night.
Yeah, that's that the.
It's an old Serbian
word, right? Yeah.
Yes.
What's it mean?
To give balls.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
You remember Vinny, the famous actor, Barbarino.
Oh, yeah, John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Yeah.
Remember Horshack?
Yeah.
Do you remember Horshack defining his name?
No. Horshack. I got a feeling I'm going to like this.
Okay, on one show, Horshack said, Horshack, it's a very old and honorable name. It means the cattle are dying. You don't remember that?
I'd forgotten that, but yeah, I did. The cattle are dying.
The cattle are dying. That's the definition of Horseshack. So, but anyway, man, week three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're cruising now.
Well, I'd say it's time to take this sucker out on the track.
Right. You know, enough of this spinning tires in the garage.
Yeah, exactly. You know, getting them ready. Yeah.
Well, we'll be heading that way soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
I'm listening, man. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, I'm not gonna be content until you can't turn a radio on at night in West Virginia or anywhere else in this great nation without hearing Head On. I mean, if you're gonna do something, for heaven's sakes, don't half-ass it. Do the whole thing. And in the long run, that's where we will wind up. You know, paid staff, people making money. You know, American dream stuff. Capitalism, for God's sakes.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay, bank account. So, you know, thanks for being with us early on. You know, Jeff noted when he called earlier this evening, sounded a little rough that first week, Bob. Oh, God. You know, Agnes and I were finishing the show and couldn't decide whether to open a beer or open a vein, for God's sakes. But we're getting there, and I sure am glad to have you guys on hand. What a fun night this has been. The show, of course, produced by the wonderful Agnes, my lovely wife. Randy Kerboy engineered this whole setup. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He streams the show, and he made the computers do what the computers are supposed to do. And our good buddy Brian Reznor announces for us. And more than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.